China is brutally eviscerating Japan in a PR war. It's making a show of ripping apart all things Japanese, but here's the thing. China actually loves Japan. Welcome to China Uncensored, I'm Chris Chappell. First, a word from our sponsor. 2025 is almost over, and a lot of us are falling in the same trap of waiting until January 1st to start something new. But you don't need to wait for a new year to make a new start. AI was one of the most in-demand skills of 2025, but most of us just didn't. And that puts us at risk of falling behind or even being replaced. The good news is you still have a month to learn AI and step into 2026 more skilled, knowledgeable, and employable. Let me tell you about the two-day live AI mastermind training by OutSkill, the world's first AI-focused educational platform. It's happening this Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on both days. Now, usually this is a paid training worth $395, but OutSkill is running a year-end holiday offer. So if you sign up through my link, it's completely free. More than 10 million people have already attended this training across fields like engineering, data, marketing, and finance. In just 16 hours of training, you'll learn how to use AI to simplify your daily tasks, build AI agents that plan, create, and automate your workflows, design AI automations that connect tools like Sheets, Notion, and CRMs, gain ready-to-use AI systems for your job, business, or freelance projects. Plus, when you complete the training, you'll receive three special bonuses: a prompt Bible, a roadmap to monetize AI, and a personalized AI toolkit builder. These bonuses alone are worth more than $5,000. So this holiday season, gift this opportunity to someone you think could benefit from knowing AI in 2026. Seats are limited, so click the link in the description. And now, on with the show. It's been several weeks now since Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takeuchi implied that Japan's military would get involved in self-defense if China attacked Taiwan. The CCP's PR war against Japan just keeps on ramping up. It started light, just little things, you know, like headlines threatening a crushing defeat for Japan, and PLA ships showing up near the Senkaku Islands, and Taiwan. No big deal. And then there were the attacks against Takeuchi herself, like saying she has dangerous far-right-wing rhetoric, and cartoons about how she is reviving the ghost of Japanese militarism, which just keep on coming. Do you think you have to go to school for propaganda cartoons, or is that more of a you either got it or you don't type of career path? But where up until now the CCP's offensive has been aimed at Japan as a nation or Takeuchi personally, now they're going after Japanese individuals in China, and they're doing it in the most petty way possible, by scrapping concerts with Japanese musicians. Even mid-performance. At the Bandai Namco Festival in Shanghai last week, Japanese singer Otsuki Maki was in the middle of singing on stage when the stage lights were turned off. Then the lights turned back on, and staff escorted her out. Hamasaki Ayumi, the queen of J-pop, also had her performance shanked. During a concert in Shanghai, she came out on stage to 14,000 empty seats. She performed anyway, which frankly sounds peaceful. If karaoke has taught me anything, it's that I'm a way better singer when no one else is around. That one got a lot of backlash. So Chinese state-run media ran this story claiming that the pictures are actually leaked rehearsal clips. But come on, really? Would Ayu herself call a rehearsal one of the most unforgettable shows ever to her? And what about all the confetti? Everyone knows confetti is serious business for the real deal only. This is just the tip of the iceberg. According to Reuters, about a dozen concerts with Japanese musicians in major Chinese cities have been abruptly canceled this week, including the likes of Suzuki Yoshio / The Bend, Kokia, Kid Fresno, and JO1. I totally know who they are. The point is, China is bullying and humiliating Japanese civilians in order to send a message. And that message is, they're petty, short-sighted, and pretty dumb. Not sure if that's the message they're trying to send, but that's how I'm reading it. It's doing to Japan what it did to South Korea nearly a decade ago. When the South Korean government approved the deployment of the U.S. THAAD missile defense system on the peninsula, China blocked South Korean music videos and TV, as well as K-pop concerts. And if you were one of the rare exceptions who got to perform in China, you had to perform in Chinese only. So it was more of a CK-pop, which sounds like Louis C.K. doing Katy Perry covers. Of course, the generalized anti-Japan sentiment in Chinese media is ongoing as well, with Chinese state-run media preaching about how Japan needs to confront its wartime legacy, like the Nanjing Massacre. Because as we all know, China would never, ever commit atrocities or attempted ethnic cleansing, especially not currently. And anti-Japanese propaganda in China is certainly nothing new. Remember this little number? Just a few months ago, there was an epidemic of anti-Japanese videos on Chinese social media like this one. After showings of the Chinese totally not a propaganda film, Dead to Rights. But now, some of the Chinese people are taking the hate overseas in a whole new way. Some are desecrating temples in Japan, while others are pretending to be Japanese while they do obnoxious things to make Japanese people look bad. They found a way to make social media worse. I'm almost impressed. This guy said, "I'm from Japan," before swearing at servers. Well, this girl, well...
Good morning, my neighbors! Sunshine in London! Sunshine in the UK! Send me muffins!
Yeah, she did that. But the truth is that while the CCP and some seriously brainwashed individuals are attacking Japan, Chinese people secretly love Japan. Japan is one of the top destinations for Chinese tourists. And Chinese people are avid fans of Japanese entertainment. They put the we in weeaboo. But Chinese people want to do more than just consume Japanese goods. Ever since Chinese leader Xi Jinping imposed zero COVID, China's elites have been fleeing to Japan. The same goes for China's middle class. And they're willing to brave kids throwing chairs at the island to get there. In fact, there's a popular term for that in China, runrer. Run sounds like run in English, and ri is a Chinese character for Japan. So runri together means run Japan or escape to Japan, which sounds like an awesome next Snake Plissken movie. Your move, Hollywood! Japanese journalist Matsutomo Takehiro wrote a book on this phenomenon called Runri, tracing wealthy Chinese elites escaping to Japan. It's only in Japanese. No English translation exists as of this recording. Fortunately, I've watched enough anime to get the gist of it. You know, that or I have someone on staff who speaks Japanese. Anyway, in his research, Matsutomo found that Chinese people started fleeing to Japan in droves after COVID for all sorts of reasons. Better medicine, better air quality, better food safety. All the things communism can't accomplish. Zero COVID made Chinese people have zero confidence in China. Especially after China's real estate industry collapsed, they have no hope in China's economy. Some put it in the bleakest of terms by comparing modern China to the horrors of the Cultural Revolution. One man in his 50s, who goes by Frank, predicted the Chinese economy may return to the 1960s or 1970s. Meanwhile, a man who goes by Lee claims in China, a new Cultural Revolution has taken place. Today's Chinese economy will never return to the original Mao Zedong-era Cultural Revolution, but it's close to it. This pessimism is why Chinese people are racing to get involved in Japanese real estate, stock markets, and education. That's right, Chinese people are trying hard to get their kids into Japanese schools. Japan even offers a student scheme for tourists to experience local school culture. And it's no mystery why. Both teachers and students are fed up with China's school system. One former teacher from Hunan province, goes by the name Grace, said that she started doubting China's education system the longer she pursued her career. Now, I'm no expert in faith, but I don't think you should lose it the more you learn about what you're supposed to believe in. She doesn't like how exam scores determine everything, and how students who get poor grades are judged to have bad lives and to be bad people. high school student who goes by the alias of Wang Tao chose to study in Japan because of Neijuan, or involution, China's race to the bottom. The experience of being locked in competition that one ultimately knows is meaningless. You know your education system is failing when the main thing students learn from it is terminal nihilism. Competition to succeed and find a job in China is so fierce that people are trying to get master's degrees just to enter the workforce. That'd be like needing to get scuba certified just to go to an 8-year-old's pool party. To illustrate just how intense things are in China, Wang Tao recounted how he saw a Chinese kindergarten-age kid at the airport reciting pi to 100 digits. That's pretty insane. It's the only time you think, man, I hope that kid is just autistic. Schools in Japan aren't nearly as intense as the ones in China. The international ones there are also not as expensive. Prices in Tokyo average less than half of what parents would pay in Beijing or Shanghai. Though, unbeknownst to most people, some international schools under the British banner have close ties to China. That needs closer investigation. Japan is a land of opportunity for all sorts of Chinese people. Chinese intellectuals and anti-CCP dissidents love Japan. So do Chinese money launderers and pro-CCP pinkies. The latter get to exploit Japan and talk trash about it, all while enjoying all the Japanese ramen and okonomiyaki they can eat. I'd criticize them for having double standards, but it's the only way I know they have any standards at all. And guess what? The CCP loves Japan too. Or at least it did in 1956 when former Japanese Army Lieutenant General Endo Saburo visited China. Mao Zedong said, "You are one of us, mister, and we owe you one. Your bout taught the Chinese people a lesson and brought us all closer and united." Yeah, he actually thanked them for massacring Chinese people. In 1964, Mao joked to Japanese Socialist Party chairman Sasaki Kozo, "There is nothing to be sorry about. Japanese materialism brought great benefit to China and enabled the Chinese people to seize power. And without your imperial army, we could not have seized power." Which is true. The CCP sat back while Imperial Japan fought the Chinese nationalists under Chiang Kai-shek. And when the nationalists were too weak to fight back, the communists attacked and drove them to Taiwan. Isn't history fun when it's accurate? Cheng knew that the CCP were exploiting Japan's invasion, but his hands were tied. The CCP is thankful things worked out this way because atrocities don't seem to bother communists if it suits their goals. That needs closer investigation. The CCP is also thankful that Japan has been investing tons of money into China, in both technology and infrastructure, as well as soft power entertainment. As much as the CCP loves to diss on Japan, they also won't say no to free stuff. Ah, the communist way. So now, here's a question that's bound to make Chinese heads explode. Has Japan done more good than harm for China? When you think about Mao's comments, it's a lot harder to answer than people realize. This was a serious exam question in Hong Kong that drew a ton of outrage. Because yeah, there was World War II, but on the other hand, you can't spell weeaboo without we. And don't get left behind when everyone else is learning how to use AI. Click below and book your slot for OutSkills AI training this weekend. I'm Chris Chappell. Thanks for watching.